Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Brian Heath. I'm the Senior Minister here, and it's great to welcome you all. We especially welcome today Mary Henner, who is known to many of us. Mary's back from Zurich for a few short days. We thought we'd put on some drizzly weather because that's what you're used to. Is that right? Yes, it's true. Okay. Well, we're following from chapter 27, verse 1, right through to chapter 28, verse 10. That's what we're covering today. So before we turn to that, let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who makes promises and who fulfills them. And we pray that you will grant us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the world to come, eternal life. Amen. Well, Jonathan Swift, the author, he wrote Gulliver's Travels, the satirist and cleric, who at one time was the Dean of St Patrick's Cathedral, Dublin, once said, "Promises and pie crusts are made to be broken." We indeed live in a world where one's word doesn't count for much, and even those of the utmost integrity slip up. However, there is one whose word can be trusted, who follows through on his promises, who doesn't renege, who when he speaks, things come to pass, who is utterly reliable and trustworthy, and that, of course, is the God who made the world. This God has made promises since the world began, and he is true to them. He promised a saviour, and a saviour after a fashion arrived in the person of Moses, and then ultimately in his son, Jesus Christ. As one reflects on all the promises that God has made, I don't think there would be many that could beat the promise that says to his beloved children, "I will bring you home. I will bring you home." Home in this world can be a wonderful place. Gaius Valerius Catullus was a Latin poet of the late Roman Republic, and he wrote this: "Oh, what is more blessed than to throw cares aside, as the mind puts down its burden, and weary with the labour of far journeys, we return home and rest on the couch that we longed for. This alone is worth all the labour." And we know the words, even if we don't know the 18th century author, J.H. Payne: "Mid pleasures and palaces, though we may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home." We all know that longing for home. You are overseas, away from family and friends. You've seen some amazing sights, but your heart is elsewhere. You long for home. You are on the business trip, living out of a suitcase, and all you long for is that home-cooked meal and your favourite chair in the garden under the tree. It's mid-afternoon on Friday and you are sitting at your desk at work, longing not just for the weekend, but for home. Home can evoke so much: security, love, protection, rest, joy. Now, of course, sadly, tragically, it is not like that for everyone. Home can be a place to avoid an abusive father, a nagging mother perhaps, or perhaps disconnection on a grand scale in your family. But when it is good, it is very, very good. And even when it is bad, you long for a home that is good, for you know the joys that it can bring. When our Heavenly Father promises us an eternal home, there are no faults, no problems, no difficulties, but just a wonderful place to look forward to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." And 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Friends, that is God's promise to us, an eternal home in the heavens. Well, as we return this morning to the book of Acts and to the Apostle Paul, we see that he is headed for Rome. In chapter 23, verse 11, in the midst of standing before the Sanhedrin and plots to take his life, he received a vision. And this is what we read. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you also must testify in Rome." This was God's promise to him. He would be protected because through Paul, the gospel must come to Rome. The good news of Jesus must reach there. It is an unstoppable gospel. Friends, God had promised that Paul would reach Rome, but he has promised us that we will reach home, our eternal home. For like Paul on his way to Rome, the path to our home can be a treacherous one. And like Paul, we are to be men and women of courage because of the promise. In the face of ongoing hardship and danger, we can take courage because God's promise is sure. For Paul, the destination would mean imprisonment, and he would witness whilst incarcerated. For us, our destination will mean our eternal rest in God's perfect kingdom. As we pick up the narrative in chapter 27, Paul is preparing to sail for Rome. Paul is a prisoner and is under the watch of Julius of the Imperial Regiment, an agent of the emperor. The passage to Rome was anything but straightforward. They set sail late in the sailing season, and the text reminds us of the dangers that awaited them. The winds were against us, verse 4. We made slow headway. The wind did not allow us, verse 7. Verse 9, much time had been lost, and sailing had become dangerous. In verse 10, Paul warns them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But the centurion, on the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship, was not going to listen to Paul. The harbour was not suitable to winter in, so they decided to sail on with the hope of getting to Phoenix and to stop there for the winter. Things started well enough. Verse 13, a gentle south wind began to blow. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But before long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The wind picked them up and they were driven off course as they could not head into the wind. Things started to get desperate. They passed ropes under the ship to hold it together. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. And as they took such a violent battering, they began to throw the cargo overboard. We have all heard of the devastation of Cyclone Debbie this past week, and this hurricane would have been of a similar nature. It is no wonder that they took an extra step of throwing the ship's tackle overboard, and that when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued to rage, that they finally gave up all hope of being saved. Paul, being human as he was, perhaps couldn't resist an "I told you so" moment. Have a look at verse 21. Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this danger and loss. I told you so." But then he offers reassurance. Why? Because as in chapter 23, verse 11, he receives another divine revelation with a threefold message in verses 23 and 24. Firstly, do not be afraid. Secondly, you must come to Rome and stand trial before Caesar. And thirdly, God will keep the lives of those who sail with you. Despite all that is going on around him, he is exhorted to not be afraid, because he has been promised that he will reach Rome, and his God keeps his promises. And we could think back, perhaps, the promises made to Joshua not to be afraid and to be of good courage, that you will lead the people into the land. Or the Lord Jesus saying to his disciples as he was about to leave, take heart, it is I, be of good courage. And now here, do not be afraid, but be of good courage. Paul takes the messenger at his word and so urges the men in the direst of circumstances to keep up their courage, for he believes that it will happen just as he has been told. And then he adds a little sting in the tail, but it won't all be plain sailing, for we must run aground on some island. Verse 26. And as the text unfolds, it happens exactly as Paul had said. Not even the plans of the soldiers to kill the prisoners to prevent them from escaping could thwart God's plans. The centurion intervened as he wanted to save Paul's life. Those who could swim jumped overboard, and others got there on planks and pieces of wood. All reached shore safely, verses 43 and 44 tells us. God was true to his word. God had promised Paul that he would reach Rome. Remember that God has promised us that we will reach home. For Paul, the plans of men and a raging hurricane could not upset God's plan. Paul and all the crew, 276 of them in fact, were saved. And verse 34 tells us, not a single hair from their heads was lost. No baldies created on this occasion. John Newton began his career as a sailor on board his father's merchant ship in these very same waters of the Mediterranean. On the 10th of May, 1748, he captained a slave ship struck by a great storm off the coast of Africa. He cried to God for mercy and was delivered, and he wrote of his experience, perhaps recalling Paul's experiences in Acts 27. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Friends, God promised that Paul would reach Rome, and like John Newton, he has promised us that by his grace, we will reach home. When they reached land, more difficulties awaited Paul. As he put wood on the fire, a snake was drawn out by the heat and bit him. The locals thought he must have been a murderer, for what god would allow someone to escape from the sea only to be killed by a viper? But when he shook the snake off and survived, they thought that he was a god. And then, as we read, he went on to heal people. Friends, Paul, in some of his most darkest days, received reassurance directly from his God, like Joshua before him. And this happened no less than three times. Here in chapter 27, in Acts 23:11, as previously mentioned, and also in chapter 18, verse 10. And on each of these occasions, he is exhorted to not be afraid, to take courage. God provided the encouragement he needed at the time he needed it most. Paul had faith in God that he would deliver him despite the circumstances pointing to something else, because his God keeps his promises. For him, unlike pie crusts, they are not to be broken. Paul says in 27:25, I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Friends, do we have that faith? Do we believe that as Paul was safely delivered to Rome, that we will be safely delivered to home? Metaphorically speaking, the storms may be raging all around. You may be suffering from a serious illness. There may be stress and strain in your family. You may be longing for something or someone that seems beyond your reach. Home for you might be anything but a place of peace and comfort. The bottom may even have fallen out of your world. And you may even think, like those sailors, that you cannot go on much longer if something doesn't change. How should we respond in such circumstances? Try the stiff upper lip approach? Deny the problems that we are experiencing and hope above all hope that perhaps things will improve? How can we have confidence in the midst of life's struggles and storms? Only because we have a God who has made promises and is true to them. He promised Paul that he would reach Rome, but he has promised us that we will reach home. We may have to go through many dangers, toils, and snares to get there, but we will arrive if our faith is in the Lord Jesus, for God's promise is sure. We can be men and women of faith and peace in the midst of life's storms, not because of our resolve, but because of faith. Remember, of course, the important thing about faith is not the subject of faith, but its object. As someone has said, what we need is not great faith in God, but faith in a great God. God's purposes roll on. In Paul's case, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is unstoppable. It will reach Rome. He is indeed the apostle to the Gentiles, and nothing will stop that, not some measly shipwreck. And in our case, those who have heard and believed that message, the message of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, will reach home. We indeed will reach our heavenly home, for we know, because it has been promised, that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in the heavens, not built by human hands. God's purposes roll on. His word will surely come to pass. Now, as it did back then, we can trust God entirely, utterly, comprehensively, for his word is sure. Friend, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are so different to your unbelieving friends, who for them they cannot but conclude, as was so ably taught us from the book of Ecclesiastes, outside the people of God, that life grinds out a meaningless mix of life, death, good and bad. It has no heart, mind or will. Luck rules. I had a friend who I worked with in docks many years ago now. His life was ordered. He was in control. He had a loving wife, three beautiful children, and the mortgage was rapidly being paid off. He loved his home. His Friday nights were a great way to end the week, a great home-cooked Italian meal, and a chance to beat me at chess, which he almost always did. But then one day he was diagnosed with MS, and the bottom fell out of his world. He was no longer in control. Seemingly, luck ruled. And he could not cope. Not so much with the disease or even that his life would be cut short, but that he could not control this. And it just did his head in and impacted on his relationships and everything. And sadly, he died one Christmas Day morning in despair. Friends, if our hope is in the Lord Jesus, then no matter how many dangers, toils, or snares we must face, God's promise remains. He will bring us safely home. That will be the end of our story. We do not know the middle, what lies before that end. We don't know what journey we may be taken on from this point. We don't know where our ship might take us, but we know our destination. We know the final port. So friends, in the midst of difficulties, no matter what they might be, does the fact that God has made a promise to you make a difference? God has promised to bring you not just to Rome to face a prison cell, but to bring you home into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, which is kept in heaven for you. Does that promise dictate our response to life's ups and downs? Now, friends, you may well know that I am a worrier and I take many things to heart. In the midst of difficulty and discouragements, it would be easy to rely on what I know best, to worry. But instead, I need to rest in God's eternal promise that he will bring me safely home no matter how circuitous the route. May you, brothers and sisters, do the same. Yes, God promised to bring Paul safely to Rome, but he has promised us to bring us safely home. May that promise sustain us, strengthen us, and direct us as we press on in this life. Amen.